Hey everybody, this is Wade with Wade for Wireless, and how you doing today? I wanted to talk about rope versus cable, steel cable for hoists, or steel rope, basically nylon rope versus steel rope. And my thinking here was, I was talking to a retired climber the other day. He's still in the wireless business, and someone's still pretty passionate about the industry, and he knows a lot about the accidents in the industry. And he was telling me stories about all the ropes that broke. And the one thing he didn't mention were any steel cables that broke. And that was something he wanted me to bring up, is about how if you're lifting heavy loads, you should use steel cables or stainless steel, or, you know what I mean. So the reason he wanted me to bring that up is because so many times people try to get by with rope. Now, that's why I put rope versus steel, and I guess it would really be nylon rope. Maybe I should rename it, but anyway, I just put rope because I think everyone knows the difference between rope and, say, steel cable or steel rope. So when you're working with this stuff and you're lifting heavy loads, you really have to know what you're doing, and that's what this is really about. You have to know your load, know what you're working against. And one thing he brought up was he had someone in the industry he knew that had a Kevlar rope, and he said it was the strongest rope he's ever seen. He couldn't believe how strong it was. However, when this particular crew he knew, they did have an accident because they were using this Kevlar rope because it was cheaper and it was easier to work with, and they were using it to lift loads. Now, the rope was plenty heavy enough, but what happened was there was a knot in the rope, and the rope broke, needless to say, with I think with human load on it. I think it had a load and people were riding up the hoist. Which, again, this is why hoists get a bad name, because things like this happen. You know, you really got to plan out what you're putting on there, and you got to be patient enough not to send everything up in one shot. I know all you guys that use hoists, that's the deal. You want to save time, save that little bit of extra time. But, man, I got to tell you, is it worth it? And I know sometimes they like, if they're pulling up something large, they like somebody on there to kick it away from the tower and so on. That's why tagging is so important. Anyways, I'm getting off point. So what he was trying to say is, even the strongest rope, when it gets a knot in it, it's weak. So what I want to do, again, was put together something to show people like the weakness of knots. And that's something I put together in my post. I have a list at the bottom, which I'll go through, that shows the weakness a lot of knots, how a knot weakens the load. And I think what I wanted to do here was just show you the arguments for rope, against rope, and for steel cable and against steel cable. When I still say steel cable, it's really steel rope is what we're working with, but it's just easier to differentiate when I say cable. So, there's no argument rope is cheaper, right? Obviously, it's easier to work with. You can throw it in the back of your truck, whereas steel is, you know, a tremendous. If you're not using a hoist, there's no reason to use steel. Or even, say, if you're using a small capstan winch, the one that fits on the back of your truck, you wouldn't use steel for that either, probably. You would use rope. But however, when you're using your rope, remember that the capstan, well, now they shut on and off, but if it's moving and you let it slide, and if you ever used one, you know what I mean. You know, as long as you pull and keep tension on it, that's when it pulls the weight up. But you can let loose on it and the winch will just slide. It'll keep going around and it'll just slide through the rope because the drag is loosened on it. Okay. Normally it's that way. So, getting off point again, but to be honest with you, when you're using a capstan hoist, one of those small hoists, and then you see someone with a big drum hoist, don't you get hoist envy? Don't you look at that and say, "Ah, oh, I wish I could use that big hoist. Looks like a lot of fun, doesn't it?" Now, the people using those, they know what they're doing, trust me. But boy, when you look at those, it's pretty cool. Just thinking what they can lift up. And again, I'm off point. Sorry. So when you're pulling up the load, you know, prior to doing anything, you should really pay attention to what you're going to pull up and how heavy it is. Now, remember, with your blocks and everything, your block and tackle and everything you're going to put up there, remember, that's got to be rated for at least twice what you're pulling up, because it's got not only the weight of the object, but the tension pulling back down on the hoist. So there's a lot of things to take into consideration when you're going to rig something big and heavy. Now, I know the broadcast guys and the tower builders, especially the tall tower builders, They know all this because they've been doing this for a long time. So those guys, you know, they could teach me a lot about what to put in this article. But what I wanted to do for you guys that are, you know, probably just using a capstan winch, or maybe you're going to go start using a real hoist, a drum winch, a drum hoist. I think what I was trying to do is just show you that if you're going to go that route, go all the way. Make sure you get the steel cable, plenty of steel cable. When you're going to play with the big boys, you got to have big boy toys. So you got to have the right tool for the job. So I get off on a lot of tangents in here, but my point is, there's a place for ropes. Ropes are used every day. It's probably the most used tool in the industry. You know, you got your safety harness and you got your ropes and you got your hard hat, your climbing helmet. But let's face it, you probably use several ropes when you do a job. You're pulling things up with a rope, and really it's one of the weakest links. And just because they wear out quick, you know, a regular nylon rope will wear out very quick. Even a Kevlar rope, you could wear it out. You know, you're dragging them, you're throwing them in the truck. They put up with the weather. You know, who knows? I know guys put them in those buckets, and then if it rains, the garbage buckets fill up with water. And if they leave it out overnight, it could freeze, you know. And ropes do break when they're frozen. It's one of the things I've seen. They take a lot of wear and tear, but they can be easily damaged. Whereas with a steel cable, it takes a long time to wear a steel cable out. They do rust over time, but boy, they last a long time. So it's just, the point here is know what you're going to be working with, know the load, and then take the precaution to inspect your equipment. Normally with a steel cable, it's easy to spot if there's wear and tear, if there's a weak spot, if you're paying attention. You got to really pay attention and inspect your cable. It's not one of those things that you'll notice if you're not looking for it. Same as your rope. You got to really pay attention to how worn your rope is. And hey, trust me, I use some pretty crappy ropes. But what we did, we would rotate our ropes. We always kept the brand new ropes for loads, and we kept the brand new ropes for lifelines. When I say lifelines, we used to often rig a tower and put a rope grab on. And that was one of the things you did. Or if you're doing controlled descent, you wanted your best rope for man loads. Anything with a man load, you wanted your best rope. You didn't want any wear and tear on that, because if a rope breaks when somebody's on it, you got real problems. So we were very careful about what we would use for what. With that said, you got to remember to refresh your supply of ropes, especially when you're starting out, because one of the first things you do, you cut ropes. You might get 300 foot and only need 100 foot or something like that, and you get tired of dragging 300 foot around. Sometimes you cut ropes. It's just good to buy a lot of rope. It just is. With steel cable, chances are you're going to store your steel cable in a hoist, and you're going to keep it there. It's not something that you're going to take off and you're going to put in the back of your truck. And chances are, if you're hoisting up something like that, it's going to be at least 300 feet. So it's going to be heavy. Heavy, heavy. Rope's heavy, you know, to carry that around. Can you imagine carrying around steel rope? It'd be a lot more weight. So it's just something to think about. So I'm often told about people use the ropes for heavy loads. That's why I brought this up, because when I talked to this guy about ropes, he told me about how many ropes broke, but he never saw a steel cable break. Never. If you're a crane operator, you probably have, but you're lifting a lot heavier loads. But in the tower industry, he's never seen a steel cable break. And there probably are some out there. Probably some of the accidents are because a steel cable broke, because of tension, stress, it snagged, or something like that. Usually it's because something gives on the tower, or the block gives, or it's not rigged properly. Rigging is huge, so you got to know what you're doing with rigging. But let's stick to the rope and the steel rope or steel cable. So steel rope is strong, but you still need to know its rating. You need to know how to work with it. It's not the easiest thing to work with. Anytime you work with a load, hoist or no hoist, you need to know the rating of your working rope or cable. It is your job, as defined by OSHA. OSHA says you should know the rating of everything, especially if you're using a hoist. Whoever the hoist operator is better know everything about the hoist and the cable and the rope. You need to know everything about it. And even if you're using steel cable, chances are you're still going to use rope to tag everything out. Tagging is hard if you've ever done it. A lot of times they'll rig up, you know, the big hoist for the load and then maybe a capstan to tag it. And that puts even more load on your block, on your rope, cable, whatever, on your load line and your block and your hoist, because you're tagging it out away from the tower. If you're hauling up something that's like 700 or 800 pounds, I know you guys haul up heavier things than that, but I just want to use an example. Let's say 700 pounds. You're pulling it out and tagging it to keep it away from the tower, which in the beginning seems easy. You know, you're near the ground, you can tag it out. All you really do is holding the weight out. But as you get closer to your destination, somewhere on top of the tower, you have a lot more stress on it. So you got your two hoists pulling against each other because you're trying to keep this big ass load off the tower, say to get around to, let's say, like a 12-foot dish or something like that. It's a lot of work, okay? The other thing is, if you are going straight up the tower and you have a lot of weight on there, you just should think about, if someone wants to ride up on the load, you should sit there in your head and calculate what the weight is. You know, if it's a 200 or 300 pound guy and he's got all his gear on and his tools and let's say any hardware he might need, you might want to think about, because that's when things break. People want to save that load line. You want to save that trip. You know, we'll send it up once instead of three times. Well, that's when problems usually happen. Everyone puts everything on, and then if the rope breaks or the harness breaks, and pray to God nobody gets hurt, that's when all the finger pointing begins. And if you have a human riding up it and a human load, it's not going to end well. It's just not. So it's just something to think about, because if you're going to pull up a human load and you got a lot of weight on there, you know, what if it's your crewmate? What if it's one of your buddies that just says, take me up with the load, because he's not thinking it through? I mean, if you had a rope on there, would you trust it? If you saw a knot in that rope somewhere way up the tower, the rope just knotted up, would you still pull him up? Would you say, oh, it'll be fine? You know, it's got to go through that. It's got to go through your block too. You know, it could snag anywhere. But that's usually when problems happen. When you have a knot in there and the knot breaks, or the knot weakens a rope, you got problems. I know rope's the most commonly used tool in the industry, and we all have rope, and we probably push it way beyond its lifetime, you know, the wear and tear and the snags in the rope. But if you're using a rope for a load line, you really got to think about what you're hauling up. You got to think about what you're lifting, the heavy load, the rating, all of that. It's a big deal. If you're pulling something up with a hoist with a steel cable, chances are you'll know what it's rated for, because it's probably one of the few steel cables you have, unless you have a lot of hoists. And you probably won't even be worried about it. You'll be more worried about how you do the rigging and what you're using to connect to the load, because that matters too. You know, a lot of shackles are used. So that's a big deal. I just want you to think before you act. It's really not a competition. I know they're really used for two different things, okay? But just know what you're getting into. A lot, like I said, a lot of the broadcast guys and a lot of these guys that build big towers, they know what they're getting into. They generally know the weight rating, and they generally think it through before they do anything. It's well thought out normally. That's why those jobs take a little longer, because they think about it and they're not in a hurry. They'd rather do it right than do it quick. That's why when now things go out to bid, I think when you see the competition, no one wants it done any sooner. They want it done right. They want it done safe. So just think, you know, the pros of using a rope, it's cheaper and it's easier to use. The cons are, it knots easy. When it knots, it weakens and it wears out quickly. Whereas the pros of using a steel cable is that the cable is very strong. It's easy to spot damage if you're looking, and it lasts a very long time because it wears slowly. The cons are, it's very expensive, it's heavy, and it's harder to work with. It just is. But again, you wouldn't be using steel cable for everyday things. So just remember, be smart, be safe, and pay attention. Plan for what you're going to be doing. So I put some rope information on there. If you're in Facebook, there's a good group called Rope Test Lab. I have the link in my blog. The reason I say it's good, because that guy actually runs a lot of tests on rope, cable, and also the gear that connects it. And he tells you what the stress is. He has a lot of videos on there too, so you can actually see how much weight something can hold before it's broken. And you can also, you know, get an idea of what it's up against, because he'll show you where it breaks. He'll give you the weight rating and all that. And again, like I said, he has it in video. The other thing I found from Sail Magazine, there was this guy, David Schmidt. He's got a blog. And the reason I put his information in there, because he had a lot of information about rope. He's a sailor guy. By sail, you know, sailboats. That's what I'm talking about. blog is a lot of good information. It's a good reference. And now I know most of you guys probably either use Kevlar or Cremantle ropes and nylon Cremantle. And what I did, he had some ropes in there. Like one of the first ropes he had was a half inch double braid nylon dynamic rope. That means basically what he's trying to explain, it elongates under the load. And it's rated to break at 10,800 pounds. So he actually had the tests in there of what they did with it. And the reason I'm bringing that up, because it was just such good information. For instance, if you tie, if there's a bowline tied there, the rope broke at 5,983 pounds. It lost 44% of its strength. A clove hitch with two half hitches broke at 7,021 pounds. Strength lost 35%. Round turn and two half hitches broke at 5,148 pounds. Not rolled open in all three tests before the rope snapped. Knot slipped 52% of the weight. You hear that? The knot slipped. The knot, that knot didn't hold. The round turn with two half hitches. A figure eight, which I'm fond of, but here, listen to this. The rope broke at 6,227 pounds and it lost 42.33% of its strength. Double fisherman's knot broke at 5,821 pounds. It lost 46% of its strength. The rope did. Double braid splice. Splices usually hold the most. That broke at 8,384 pounds. The rope lost 22.37% of its strength. But I mean, that's pretty good. And he goes through another thing. He did stay set double polyester rope, which is rated for 10,200 pounds. And he goes through the same thing. Yeah, and the numbers percentage wise are almost the same. It's really amazing how close they follow, except the double braid and the round turn with two half hitches. Again, the knots rolled open. The double braid splice only lost 12% of its strength compared to, 22%. And the final rope he had was Endura braid, rope with 100% SpectraCore and polyester cover. And it's a static rope for sheets and halyards. Really not sure what that is. I'm not a sailor, but anyways, it almost follows the same thing. The only difference was he did a core-to-core splice and the strength lost 0% with that core-to-core splice. Everything else, actually, it looks like it lost more strength with every knot. And that rope, let me just go back, the Endura braid with 100% SpectraCore and polyester cover, that's a static rope and it's rated at 19,300 pounds, which is just amazing. But yet, bowline, it lost 59% of its strength. Clove hitch with two half hitches, 61% of its strength. Round turn, knots rolled open again. Figure eight, lost 60% of its strength. Double fisherman's knot, lost 67% of its strength. It almost doesn't follow the pattern of the other ones. That's what I found so interesting. But anyway, if you guys get a chance, look through that. Now, the other thing I included in here, just to drag on the article for another, couple pages, a lot of information about steel rope and steel cables, because I think you guys would be interested in that. So I put a bunch of links in there with good overviews in them. And I also put the ratings of steel cables. Now, here's the thing with steel cables. It's just like rope. There's a lot of different kinds, okay? So you got to really know what kind of cable you're looking at. Like the first chart I put in there was a 6-strand by 19 wire. And let's just do half inch. Like for the half inch cable, is rated at roughly 21,400 pounds per foot. That's how they do it. And it has a couple of ratings in there. It's very confusing to me. Oh, it has a safe load. That's the minimum breaking strength. The safe load was 4,200 pounds, which really, is comparable with rope. Then I gave you another reference from Wisco Lift. They had wireless rope and cable, and they give you the different types of cable they have, like a 1x7. That's one cable, and it actually has 7 strands in it. And then you have a 1x19, a 7x7. Now, when they say 7x7, what that is, they have little cables, which are 7 strands, and they put 7 of those together. So you had these little cables that have seven strands. It would, if it were by itself, it'd be a 1x7. And then what they do, they put it together to where they have seven of them. And they go in, and if you get in the article, they tell you how to measure the cable and so on. And the last chart I put in there came from rigging.net, and it's about cable wire as well. And they do a, they have like a 7x19. It's a little hard to read, fellas, but again, you can see I'm looking for the half inch cable. Galvanized, it's rated for a 4,500 pound load, and the max load is 2,200 pounds, 22,800. And as weight per 100 foot, weighs 45 pounds per 100 foot, which is heavy. You know, 300 foot cable, you're talking a good 130 pounds plus. It's going to be a lot of weight. But anyway, I put that in there so you got an idea, okay? I was just trying to give you an idea of the cables. And the other point was, steel's stronger, right? And chances are you're not going to buy a half-inch steel cable. You know, chances are you'll buy like an inch or something, or five, something a little like 5/8 inch maybe. But with that said, I don't know. You know, I'll have to talk to some of these broadcast guys and tower guys and see what they'd say. I have a bunch of links at the bottom, which I think will be interesting to you guys that, about all this stuff. And I also have something down there about a capstan winch. Just because it's nice to look that up once in a while. You guys probably use it all the time, and you probably forget about all the details of a capstan, what's required. So hopefully this helps you out. It's a little interesting. It's more this is one of those few things that's more interesting to read, because you have a lot of the details in the blog that you can look at and compare if you like, if you're into that kind of thing. I know a lot of you guys are into ropes, so hey, if you're listening to me on iTunes, write a review. If you're listening to me on Stitcher, let them know you like me. And again, I have that Sal tutorial, my scope of work tutorial, I put out there. It's a video, and I have discount codes. If you go to the page, you'll see the discount codes. And I still have two books. I have the Field Worker's Aid for Tower Site Work. That's out there. It's about $5. Then I have Tower Climbing, an introduction, which is a good introduction to tower climbing if you're into that kind of thing. You know, someone getting into tower climbing, now would be the time. Holiday season. So holiday season, all great gifts. Okay, I'm pushing it. Hey, again, let me know what you think. You can send me a message in my blog. Feel free. WadeForWireless.com or WadeSarver.com/podcast. And tell me what you guys think. I know I breezed over this, and I'm going to be honest with you. I'm no expert on the hoists, the drum hoists. Capstan's pretty straightforward. I think everyone used a cat head at some point, but I think the drum hoists are something I didn't use too often. I know a lot of people that worked with them, and you really have to know what you're doing when you're using them. Now, when I say you know what you're doing, it's one of those things where you're going to be hauling heavy, heavy weight up. So you have to know how to set up the hoist, set up the winch. Usually they're on trailers. Sometimes they're in a truck. They have to be anchored very solid, because think about it. If you're pulling up 1,000 pounds, that's 1,000 pounds pulling up on whatever it's anchored to. Guys, that may not sound like a lot, but if you're on a trailer, that might be enough to move the trailer. And you don't want to find that out when you're pulling it up and then something, it snags. Or the other thing you don't want to pull out is, like I was saying, when you're your tagline pulling out on the hoist, when you have a tagline pulling out on the load while the hoist is pulling it up, you're, as it goes higher and higher, you're going to pull harder and harder. And trust me, I know, I've physically pulled these things. It's a lot of work to keep it out and away from the tower. It pulls you in. Normally you think one person can handle it because it's easy at first. Like I said, it's just dangling there, you know. It's down 300-400 feet. It's just down on the ground. It's got to go up 300-400 feet. But then when you have to pull the thing out away from, say, a dish to keep it from hitting stuff, or walking it around the tower trying to keep missing everything as it goes up, it's something to think about. Hey, that's something else I didn't bring up. When you guys run those cables, you can't just drop the rope down and hope for the best. You have to figure out what your path up is going to be. You may have to run it up a different face so as to not hit anything. It's hard to explain, but when you're out there and you can see it, and anyone who's done it will probably understand that they have to do it that way. And that's something I learned early on. You can't just drop the rope and hope for the best. You have to think about where you're going to put the block. and when you pull it up, and then you have to think about how you're going to swing it around. And if the dish is on the top of the tower, you may have to really think about how you're going to mount everything, because you may have to, you know, get a come along or something to pull it all the way in. Because if it's on the top and you don't have a gin pole, you're going to have to pull it all the way up to the mount. And that was something I know that some guys did on a crew that I knew back when I was climbing. I wasn't on the job, but the other guys were on the job, and they could only pull it up so far. They didn't have the proper gin pole to pull it above the tower. So it was like a 12-foot dish. So they literally used a come along, and they cranked it up all the way to the mount, and they got it mounted at the top of the tower that way. They pulled it up as high as they could go. And anyone who's ever done rigging, you know, you can't just pull it right up to the block. You got all your rigging and everything, and it's just not that easy. So they had to get the come along, connect it to the dish, connect it to the mount, and just pull it in nice and tight after the tag line was off, because you didn't want to rip the mount off the tower. I don't know. Maybe I'm not explaining it very well, but anyone who's done it probably knows what I mean. That was a long time ago. Anyway, guys, I'm just going over this stuff. I'm not saying I'm an expert in this, you know. What I am saying is, if you're going to do it, you'd better become an expert quick. That's what I'm saying. You'd better have a good plan for this stuff, because this is something that you need to get right, and you need to make sure that when you do it on the first shot, it's going to work. Now, let me explain that. When I say in the first shot, I don't mean just expect to run it up the tower in one shot. Because trust me, I've started to take things up, and then you see something you didn't see before. You drop it back down. You take the extra time. You move the block. You move the rope. You rerun everything the way it should be. Because sometimes as you're hauling something up, and I'll give you an example. Back when there were a lot of Yagis on the tower, and when I say Yagis, I don't mean these little things that they have now. Like, they used to have these huge 700 meg or 50 meg and 35 meg Yagis, and they stuck way out. And then they had these sticks. They used to have these sticks that were like 6 to 8 foot off the tower and a pipe. You had to get around all this crap, because you would destroy it if you were pulling something big up, like dishes. So sometimes you think you can get around it, but you either can't pull it, or you can't tag it the way you wanted to, or there's something in the way. If you're in a town or in a city, you can't walk 3 or 4 blocks to pull something like you can when you're out in the field, or sometimes up on a mountaintop. Sometimes trees get in the way, or there's a drop off. But my point is there's a lot of issues. And what I'm saying is, just because you can't do it right the first time, sometimes it's better to drop the load and give it some thought. Talk it over with your crewmates. I'll tell you what, that's why you have a crew there. Everyone has to work together and talk to each other. And sometimes when you do that, sometimes a guy in the air has a better idea. Sometimes a guy in the air thought something would work, and maybe the guy running the tag line has a better idea, because he just can't pull the load, you know. Sometimes you have to make sure you have enough blocks. You have a block at the top of the tower, at the bottom of the tower. You have a block out maybe for the guy tagging it so he can control it better, so he isn't pulling away from the tower. Instead, maybe he can pull off a pole or something, and it's just easier for him to control that way. I'm saying keep the possibilities open. You know, don't be closed-minded. It's very hard sometimes to do this stuff. It's very confusing. So just be patient and make a plan. If the plan doesn't work, come up with another plan, a better plan. Because once you know what doesn't work, then you can try something that does work. You know, just think of Thomas Edison. When he failed to make the light bulb light 10,000 times, I don't know if it was 10,000, but that's the way the quote goes. He said that he didn't fail. He just said he found 10,000 ways not to make a light bulb. And what do we have today? I mean, don't we all really take lights for granted? I mean, everyone has lights in their house. So the reason I say that is because the guy didn't give up. He just tried something new. And sometimes when you're at a tower site, you can't call back to your boss and say, hey, we can't hang this because there's too much in the way. You got to come up with a way to do it. Not saying it'll be easy. Not saying you might screw up your schedule, but you got to find a way to do it. So, all right, guys, I've droned on long enough, but I do appreciate you guys here listening to me. And I do appreciate everyone that's taken the time to reach out to me and give me some feedback. Thank you. And I appreciate everyone that's gotten on iTunes. I just wish a couple of you would leave a review. Let me know what you think, good or bad. Just tell me something on iTunes. And again, give me the feedback. I do appreciate that. Everyone, be smart, because I know you're smart out there. You're listening to this. You're willing to learn. Be safe. I know you're learning to be safe. We're all safe. We all practice safety. We have to practice it regularly. We have to practice rescue regularly. And pay attention, because believe it or not, when you don't pay attention, you're not smart or safe. I'm not saying you're stupid. I'm not saying you don't know what you're doing. And I'm not saying you're dangerous. But what I'm saying is, when you don't pay attention, bad things can happen because you're thinking about something else. All right. You guys take care. It's good talking to you, everybody. See you.